Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're just going to dive right back into talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures. We've been looking at the scriptures that it's very clear what they say. But the more we look at exactly what the scriptures say, we may have to change our beliefs. We may have to change our opinions, our actions. And there may be consequences. The point being that we want to be doing what we're doing based on truth, reality, what God is really saying to us. And He wants what's best for us. And a lot of times what we believe doesn't lead to what's best for us. And the way we find out what's best for us is we are yoked with Him. We are partnered. We are working in dependence with Him. And allowing Him, developing that trust that He is able to reveal Himself to us. It's not contingent. Knowing God is not contingent on our ability, our intellect, our strength, our anointing, our position in the church, our role, our office. Our knowing Him is fully dependent on Him. He reveals Himself. And then draws us. Now, we respond, and we learn, and we grow, and we change our minds. But part of our walk here on this earth is to develop confidence that we can hear Him clearly for ourselves. And that can be kind of daunting, because so many of us have not been taught that that's really how we live a Christian life. Very often, the whole concept of a Christian life is tied to church and fellowship with others. And there's certainly an element of walking with others and being unified and in fellowship according to His purpose. But first, we know Him. We learn how to hear His voice. We learn how to get healed. We learn how to be changed into His likeness. We learn how to relinquish control over our own lives, giving Him the approval, the acknowledgement that it's His responsibility to change us in our soul. And as we do that, some of the things that we learn are going to be in conflict with others. And we kind of just have to accept that. Don't take it personal. Don't take it to the extreme that that's the fact that you disagree with others And sometimes it can be a strong disagreement that is not a reflection on you at all. It may be a reflection on truth, but it's best if we don't take things personal in any respect, either positively or negatively. Now, there's going to be times when God is going to ask you to make decisions or say things that you may not want to. And this is part of the process of being able to hear his voice. To know that on your own, you're not going to. You're not going to be able to say, okay, these are the examples, for instance, in the scriptures to follow. Because there are so many things in the scriptures that we are living with that are not covered in the scriptures. Now, there's a lot of common sense and there's a lot of truth. And we certainly start with the understanding that we don't get to make things up as we go along. But a lot of things aren't covered and aren't meant to be. I like this scripture where it says that if all the books that could be written were written about Jesus' time here on this earth, there would not be enough books to fill them, to hold it all. In other words, what we have recorded doesn't come anywhere near to, we think, okay, if we were to count the number of miracles that Jesus did as recorded in the Gospels, to think that that's all the number of miracles he did, that would be wrong. That would be an inaccurate conclusion. He did so far, much more than we could ever ask or think. And he does that in our lives as well. And at some point in time, you know, when we start looking back at our lives and we see all that he actually did in our lives, and we're amazed. We're amazed that we didn't see his hand at the time, but over time, and every once in a while, it's good to look back and see how he guided us and brought us to the place where he could make those changes in our lives that we were asking him to. Because really what we're talking about is our relationship with him, not accomplishing something, not measuring up to a standard, certainly not measuring up to the law, which he did for us 2,000 years ago. But talking about this kind of a divisive topic, the reason it seems to be divisive is because people's livelihoods are at stake. And money is important. Money is a way we often measure how we're doing. And that's something we each need to address. Is that an accurate reflection of how you're doing? Certainly in the spirit, it's not. In your walk with God, it is not an accurate reflection. So when we talk about the concept of tithing versus giving and what the scriptures say, you can hit some raw nerves. Now, there may be situations where you can agree to disagree with those in your fellowship or church, and there are no consequences, and you can just still be friends with the friends and be in leadership, and there not be any consequences, and that's fine. But then there may be other times when what you believe isn't going to line up with what other people believe, and it will raise a ruckus. And I would just say is if God's not rocking the boat, you don't need to rock it. God doesn't need you to defend him. But if God is rocking the boat, don't you try to calm it. Don't you try to settle things down. Let him have his way. And if there's an argument about it, not just tithing, but anything, any truth that God convinces you of. This is his truth that he proves to you, that you come to believe. That's all you need to say. I have heard from the Lord. This is what he has said. This is what I believe. Thank you very much. And unless there are other ramifications, and there sometimes are, you don't have to convince everybody. We all don't have to agree on everything. And again, this topic just seems to be a big thing because it's money. It's people's livelihoods. It's paying salaries and planning, and we'll get into some of the consequences of what you believe about tithing and giving. Because they can be practically addressed. But we're also going to see negatively if we don't pay attention to what we do with our finances. There are consequences to that as well. So we've been talking about, according to Moses, in Numbers, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, there was a building of what the tithe was, how it was to be carried out, and then it was added to in the books of Moses, where it was written down and the people were told, this is how to handle your finances on behalf of the community. Different aspects of tithing or fulfilling the law by giving a certain amount of money or produce or goods to a certain person or place in a certain manner. But here's the law. This is what I want you to do. And the tithing is always a part of a series. So we talked about the tithe of the feasts. This is what we talked about last week, the tithe of the feasts. So that they were to bring the tithes to the cities and consumed. They were consumed by the bringer. Then also the tithe for the priesthood and the poor. In other words, this tithe, this tenth, this gift was to be given to those who were in need. And it was brought into a storehouse. So it was not animals, it was something that could be stored. So we see the law, the way the law was written out, it was very practical. It was addressing specific situations that were coming up. And the community, the Israelites themselves, how their nation was functioning was changing. They had been a very nomadic society, and they were becoming much more established in one place, and their numbers were growing. So the needs for the government, for the community, for serving God, for being God's people, was changing. So as the needs changed, the laws changed to accommodate, to address those situations. So we're going to start now with a tithe that happens every 3 years. And this is in Deuteronomy, chapter 26, verses 12 and 15. I'm just going to start reading it and we'll discuss it. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing. Now let me just ask you, when was the last time anybody preached on the year of tithing? That's a great example. If you just took that out of context, you could make a whole interesting pressure with that, with a year of tithing. Once you have finished finish laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year, the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled. Then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house, and also have given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments, which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for an unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look down from your holy habitation, from heaven, and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, just as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. So in this passage, every third year was instituted as the year of tithing. After they have fulfilled their responsibilities toward the Levites and the needy, the Israelites are also instructed to pledge before the Lord that they have fulfilled the requirements of his commandments. In other words, it's just a check-in to make sure that they have done everything that they were supposed to do, followed by their petition for blessing and the fulfillment of his promise. In this passage, we clearly see the Lord's emphasis on both hospitality and charity. Notice also that in both this case and what we talked about last week, the needy were to eat within your gate and be filled. So what was given to the stranger, what was given to the needy, what was given to the Levites was not a bare amount, a minimal amount. It was to satisfy their need. It was to serve them. One issue here is, and it talks about it in other places, when we talk about needy, we're talking about those who cannot take care of themselves. The widow. In that culture, the widow had no way of working, of taking care of themselves. There was very few opportunities for a widow to survive even. And the poor, there was very little way of making a class jump from poor to wealthy. If you had a flock, you grew your flock. If you had land, you could grow things. If you had a craft, you could make a living by selling your product. But if you didn't have any of those, and you didn't have any way of getting there was a real chasm. It was by your own effort that you survived. So this opportunity for the community to minister unto the poor was in no way perceived to be acceptance of needy as a way of life. Just because they took care of the widow and the poor and the needy did not absolve them trying to take care of themselves. So we want to see how the culture worked there, that our perception is not their perception and their culture. We don't want to get too bogged down, but it is a different way of perceiving, especially when we start talking about widowhood. Notice it's never about a man whose wife has died. It's the wife whose husband has died that is left without care, left without anyone to care for him. So, again, we won't get too far into that, but there is a lot more there. If you are interested, I encourage you to take some time to explore that. And maybe some other time we will here. But at this time, this is a, and in the previous feast, there was an emphasis on filling the storehouses so that when the needy came, there would be something there. And then during that third year, when they came, they were filled not just a puny portion, not just a petty portion, not just as little as they could get away with, but to satisfaction, so that they could eat until they were satisfied. So this is what is in the Law of Moses. And again, when we're talking about the Law of Moses, we are talking about the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those are the Mosaic Law. Next, we're going to get into what changes and additions were made to the tithe and feasts and different aspects, building on what has been put down in the Mosaic Law. We're going to do a quick summary of the tithe according to the Law of Moses, and then go right into what was added after those first five. So this is the sum of the institution of the tithe. And again, there's two different things. There's the tithe as an aspect of the law, that it's step number 3A that you have to do in order to fulfill the law. And if you fulfill the law, then you will be God's people and he will be your God. Okay, that's one aspect of tithing. And then tithing is just a tenth. Okay, so there's two different aspects we want to keep reminding ourselves of. So we're talking now about the sum of the institution of the tithe as part of the commandment given by God through Moses to the Israelites. That's another thing to notice, too, is nobody else is commanded to partake of any of these aspects of the law. No tithing, no feasting, no abstaining, no, it's only the Israelites, because this is only for God's people. If you do these three things, these actually 300 things, I will be your God and you will be my people. So first thing we want to be reminded of is that one-tenth or a tithe of the produce of the land, the fruit, the grain, and the livestock belonged to God and was to be given to and used by his priests, the Levites. This tithe was dedicated to the Lord. That's what most people think. Okay, tithe, that's what most people think, is the first tenth of everything belongs to God and is given and used by his priests. And we correspond that, and we won't get into that now. This tithe was dedicated to the Lord. But there are more examples in the law of Moses about the tithe. Number two, the Levites were in turn to give one-tenth of the tithe that they received to the high priest, Aaron, his descendants, and their households. Number three, probably a second yearly tithe, a second tenth, was to be taken up and used specifically for festivals and feasts. This was consumed by the bringers of the tithes and the Levites before God. This was not dedicated to the Lord. Fourth was that triannual tithe, or a third tenth of the produce only, was to be put into storage facilities to take care of the Levites and those in need in the local vicinity. This, likewise, was not dedicated to the Lord and was to be dispersed with generously. Five, I'm going to draw some conclusions. Using these summaries, 20% a year would be given off the top, with an additional 10% every third year to support the religious, governmental, and social structure of the Israelite community. Number six, some attribute the inconsistency in the accounts of these tithes to the two time periods in which they were written. And we need to pay attention to the two time periods. When the tithes were to be given exclusively to the Levites, the Israelites were still wandering around in the desert. But after they entered the Promised Land, they became much more homebodies. They multiplied, and they needed other ways to not only take care of the Levites, but to ensure religious and social cohesion through festivals and social caretaking through legislated welfare programs. So again, the needs changed, so the tithe changed, the law changed. Number seven, there were no specific penalties or consequences for not tithing. The penalty of withdrawal of the Lord's blessing and his casting away Israel from being his people was if they did not keep the whole law. It was never, if you don't tithe, God won't provide. It was never, if you don't wash your food the way they were commanded, they'd get sick. Package deal, all or nothing. You fulfill the whole law. No single aspect was singled out as more important to God than others. Tithing was not more important to God than any other aspect of the law. Eight, the commandment of the tithe was in effect as long as the law was in effect. The law was in effect from the writing down of the law, Moses, to the fulfillment of the law, which was at Jesus' resurrection. So the commandment of the tithe was in effect from the writing down of the law to the fulfillment of the law. We can conclude that God, through Moses, did indeed command the Israelites to tithe. And he gave specific parameters as to who, where, when, how, and the consequences of both obedience and disobedience to this commandment. Finally, to tithe is to fulfill the covenantal requirements as specified by God through the scriptures, laid out specifically in the Mosaic Law in Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And we'll pick it up here next week and start getting into where do we go after the books of Moses, the law of Moses, the add-ons. So drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or through Blog Talk Radio, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again next Sunday. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.